Let us hear the word of the Lord. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be in the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither, and eat off the bread, and dip the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And so she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And we'll end our reading of God's precious and inspired word there, just at verse number 17. And it's the words that are found in the beginning of verse 16 that I want to speak on for a while this evening. That little phrase there towards the beginning of verse 16, handfuls of purpose. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Now, can we just unite our hearts together and pray and seek the Lord? Maybe tonight, if you're honest, you're not in the habit of praying. But I would challenge you and exhort you tonight, pray. And ask the Lord to speak to your heart. And I believe that if you pray that prayer earnestly, that the Lord will answer it and that the Lord will speak. So let's all pray together that the Lord will come and pour out his Spirit and speak to our hearts this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the stillness and solitude and quietness, Lord, of this meeting house, we call upon thee in the Saviour's name. We thank thee, Lord, for the ministry and song tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word. O God, we cast ourselves at thy feet. O God, we pray that thou wilt speak. Speak, Lord, with the voice that wakes the dead. Make the people hear. Lord, cleanse this earthen vessel, I pray. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Hide me behind the cross. Let my name perish, but glorify the name of thy Son. And may the presence of God fill this house. And may every individual be spoken to and ministered to and met at the point of need. And we pray that honour and praise and glory will be brought to the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name and for his sake we pray. Amen. This little book of Ruth shines like a very bright star in a dark night in Israel's history. The very first verse of the book reads that it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. So there was a famine, but not only a famine, but we know from the last chapter of the book of Judges that in those days in Israel, there was no king in the land. And everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. The days of Judges were dark and desperate days. And now we see that in the days of Judges there was a famine. And yet in the midst of those dark and discouraging and barren days, we have this lovely story of Ruth. A story of revival and a story of redemption. A story of restoration and a story of reformation. It's a great love story between Ruth, who was an outsider brought into the land of Israel, and she met this great redeemer, this great kinsman, and he brought her into his kingdom and he married her, and things just changed whenever Naomi left her family, left her kindred, left the land of Moab and entered into the land of Israel. And the Lord, unknown to her, whenever she entered back into Israel, the Lord had a wonderful and a glorious future for her. And I believe tonight that for every individual who, in simple childlike faith, trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can experience a glorious future. You can have a future tonight that is brighter than tomorrow. And you might find yourself in the midst of barrenness. And maybe there's a famine tonight in your heart and you're hungry and you're thirsty. And there's brokenness, as there was in Ruth's background. There was bereavement and there was disappointment and there was heartache and there were tears and there was a broken heart. But whenever she entered into Israel, into God's kingdom, and then into God's family, she discovered that she could have a wonderful future. And you can have a wonderful future from this moment on if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. To give just a very simple overview of the book of Ruth, chapter 1 speaks of Ruth as a stranger being brought in. She was a Gentile, that is to say, she was a non-Jew. She was from Moab, and Moab is a type of the flesh. And therefore, she was an outsider, she was a stranger, and she was brought in through a series of events that seemed to be entirely beyond her control. She was brought into Israel, and there she came to know the true and the living God, the God of heaven, and she was soundly and powerfully converted. And I want to tell you tonight that if you're not a Christian, that your fundamental need, the greatest need that you have, is to be converted. To be brought into the family of God. Tonight you're a stranger perhaps to grace, and you're a stranger to God, and you're a stranger to Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad tonight that my Savior is interested in outsiders. You mightn't be a church-going person, you mightn't be a religious person, you mightn't even describe yourself as being religious in any manner. And maybe tonight you have no real interest in the things of God or the things of the Word. Well, I believe tonight that God nonetheless is interested in you. Ruth was a stranger that was brought in. Then chapters 2 and 3 speak of Ruth, a gleaner in the field. Whenever she was brought in, suddenly she found herself in service, entering into a relationship with Boaz, and Boaz was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that he was from Bethlehem. That's the very place that the Savior was from. Bethlehem literally means the house of bread. And there was a great famine in the land, but there was a place where Ruth could get bread. And we're living in days of barrenness where people are empty and people are hungering and thirsting for life and for something to hold on to and for something that will fill them and something that will satisfy them. And you'll never find bread until you come to Jesus Christ. Because he alone is the bread of life. And he can bring you into his banqueting house tonight. And you'll discover that his banner over you is love. Boaz was also a redeemer or a kinsman. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the great redeemer. As the hymn writer said, there is our redeemer. Jesus, God's own son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah. Holy One. And she discovered that this man from Bethlehem, this Redeemer, her husband man, was a man of wealth, a man of grace, and a man of kindness. And then in chapter 4, we see Ruth as the wife of Boaz. And as this great love story unfolds, and as this stranger is brought in, and he meets her at the point of need, and he provides for her, then in the very last chapter, publicly, he takes Ruth to be his wife, to be his bride. And friend, there's a day coming whenever before all of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ will show himself to be the great bridegroom. And he'll gather all of his loved ones in and we'll sit together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I wonder tonight, will your place be filled? Will you be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb on that great day? And then, of course, Ruth gave birth to Obed. And Obed was the grandfather of King David. And of course, David was one of the forerunners of the Lord Jesus Christ. And much of the story of Ruth surrounds the harvest time. And Ruth came there to glean in the fields. And of course, harvest time, as we've been reminded, is a testimony to the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And according to the Old Testament law, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, that whenever a stranger would come into Israel at harvest time, anybody that owned a field, whenever the harvest was being brought in, would allow the stranger to gather the ears of corn right around the very edges of the field. So God's people were called to show kindness to the stranger. But whenever Boaz saw Ruth, there was something in his heart that longed for her and something in his heart that loved her. Just as the Savior has a love for the stranger. And so Boaz said to his servants, whenever you're out in the fields there and you're gleaning and you're bringing in the grain and you're bringing in the corn and you're gleaning the sheaves and you're bringing them in, you see that girl Ruth? Just let some handfuls of the best corn and the best grain fall on purpose that she might gather them in. Let some handfuls of purpose fall for her. And so he's going beyond the call of duty and he just wants this young woman to be satisfied and experience blessing as a stranger. And I want to speak just on these handfuls of purpose. What do they speak of? What do they represent tonight for you and for me? Well, I think the first thing that the handfuls of purpose reminded of is that Ruth was protected in Israel. Our protection. If you look there at chapter 2 and look at verse number 9. It says there, let thine eyes be in the field that they do reap and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And so here's Ruth and she's a stranger and she doesn't know anybody in Israel. And maybe tonight you feel like that coming to this meeting. You say, I don't really know any of the people in this church tonight. And I'm not really acquainted with spiritual things and with Christian people. And tonight I feel somewhat out of my depth. I feel like a stranger. And nevertheless, the Lord has brought you in tonight. And Boaz, he just said, just watch out for that young girl. And don't touch her. And don't harm her. And more than that, allows some handfuls of purpose just to fall for her. And Boaz was showing by this that he was seeking to protect her. And in verse number 12, he says to Ruth, "The Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And so just as Boaz was protecting Ruth, he reminds Ruth that she is underneath the shadow of the Almighty. And Ruth, as I'm seeking to protect you and seeking to ensure that no harm comes to you, Ruth, I want you to be reminded that you've come to trust and abide under the wings, under the shadow of the Almighty. And you know, whenever anybody comes to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord gathers us in under his wings. And I would just wonder tonight, as you go through your journey from the cradle to the grave, are you sure and certain that you're underneath the wings of the Lord tonight? You see, sometimes the psalmist spoke about this. He said in Psalm 17 and verse number 8, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, and hide me under the shadow of thy wings." And then in Psalm 36 and verse number 7, the psalmist says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." And then in Psalm 57 and verse number 1, the psalmist prays, and you can make this your prayer tonight, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until all these calamities be overpassed." And friends, we're living in days where there are many calamities, many trials. And here the psalmist acknowledges that I'll never survive. Certainly I'll never get through the great judgment unless the Lord brings me in under the shadow of his wings. And I wonder tonight, have you ever experienced that? You know, there's a story that's often been told of a farmer in the Midwest in the United States. Sometimes, whenever a train perhaps was going past, a little spark would come out from between the rail and the wheels of the train, and it would maybe just set fire to the dry grass at harvest time. And that fire would spread for miles and for miles and for miles. And one occasion this farmer looked to the horizon and he saw right across the horizon just a wall of smoke. And he realized that there was a fire coming. And he was a wise man and he knew that if he was going to save his house and his farm, he would have to burn up the crop and allow the wind just to carry it away from his farm. And so he just let the crop and the on the side of his farm and allowed the wind just to carry it towards the fire that was coming towards them. And then, of course, whenever the fire came to the ground, it had been burned up. There was nothing to burn, so it just went round like a circle round about his farm. And yes, he lost his crop, but he kept his farm and he kept his family safe. And whenever he was walking around the charred remains of that crop, he saw an old hen that was just burned almost to charcoal. And he just looked at it and he thought it must have got confused in the heat. And as it saw the flames and the fire, and he very casually just kicked it with his foot. And as that charred remains fell over, about a dozen little chicks just ran out. And they were safe. And that old mother hen had just got those little chicks and she just got them underneath her wings and she'd taken the fire for them. And that's, friend, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me when he died upon the cross. He took the fire of God's wrath and the fire of God's judgment for me. And tonight I'm standing where the fire has been. And I think of that time whenever the Savior stood over the city of Jerusalem and he wept over the city. That's the heart that the Lord has for sinners, people like you and people like me. And he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee." He says, "How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not." And you know the Lord would save you tonight. But the problem is perhaps you won't come and experience what it is to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And here tonight you find yourself in this meeting, and this handful of purpose falls before you in the plan of God, and He wants to protect you from the storms of life and from judgment and from hell and from death and from separation. And you find yourself as a stranger, and you're brought into this meeting, and the Lord throws down this handful of purpose before you, and He says, I want to protect you. These handfuls of purpose speak of something else. They speak of our provision. You see, Ruth was coming in as a stranger from a place of barrenness where there was a famine. And she was hungry, and she was poor, and she was needy. And her husband had died, and she'd been left with nothing. And she'd come back with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And here they are, and they come into this strange country, and it's all new to her, and she's lost. And she's lonely, and she's longing for something, but she discovers that in that land there's a man called Boaz. And our Bible tells us there that Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. And he was a man of grace, and he was a man of kindness. And Boaz all the while was thinking upon Ruth. And as he saw her coming in, he says, here's a stranger. Here's a girl from Moab, and she's got nothing, and she's bankrupt, and she's in debt, and she's lost, and she's looking for something, and she's longing for something, and she's poor and she's needy. Just like every single one of us. The psalmist says, I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And yet as we make our pilgrim journey through this world, and as we trust in the Lord, we discover that the Lord provides handfuls on purpose for us. And the psalmist could say, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And as these servants drop down these handfuls on purpose for Ruth, what Boaz was doing was he was providing for all of her need. And you know, I can testify tonight to the faithfulness of the Lord. I've never wanted for anything. And the Lord is good. And He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. Old Dr. Ironside, Harry Ironside, the one-time pastor of the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, great preacher, great Bible teacher, great commentator in the Word of God, he was called one time to a Bible college somewhere in America that was struggling financially. And they'd run up this great debt, you see, and they were desperate. And so they just didn't know what to do apart from get on their knees and pray. And they knew that Harry Ironside was a man of God. And they brought old Dr. Ironside along, who now was an old man. And they explained the situation, and they opened up the canteen in the Bible college for prayer, and all of the faculty and lecturers and students got in, and they just began to pray that the Lord would meet the need. And then old Dr. Ironside stood up, and he just began to pray in a very unusual way, and he says, Lord, my Bible tells me that you own the cattle in 1,000 hills. He says, Lord, would you sell some of those cows and send us the money? And you know, just about an hour later, Dr. Ironside was called out of the meeting. And whenever he went out of the canteen, there was a woman there. And she says, Mr. Ironside, there's a man in the foyer. He wants to speak to you. And Dr. Ironside went to the foyer, and he saw this well-dressed gentleman in a three-piece suit, wearing cowboy boots and a Stetson hat. He says, Mr. Ironside, I heard that you were here. He says, I'm a rancher from Texas. I've just sold up my ranch. And I want to tithe the money that I got for it. And I want to give it to God's work. And I want to give it to you for whatever you see fit for it to be. And old Dr. Ironside opened the envelope, and there was a large check in it, and he went back into the prayer meeting, and he says, we can just stop praying and just praise God, because the Lord has met the need. Friends, that's the God that we have. A God who provides for the needs of His people.
Give us this day our daily bread. And here's old Ruth, and she's just gleaning ears of corn. And then she finds, here's a handful of purpose, and she puts it in her basket. And here's another, and here's another. And all the way the Lord is leading her, and all the way the Lord is providing for her. And there she is, as it were, in Bethlehem. And tonight God has provided even salvation for the whosoever. And you come to this meeting tonight and you say, is there a place in heaven for me? Yes, there is if you want. If you want to be saved tonight, God will provide everything you need for salvation. He's done that already upon the cross. And there's bread that God sent from heaven. Handfuls of purpose speak of protection. They speak of provision, but they also speak of providence. Of providence. Look there at verse number 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Now she's out in the field and she's gleaning. And Boaz, he's the boss here, and he's in charge of all of these servants, and he speaks to them, unknown to Ruth, who's now in the field, and he says to these servants, let her glean among the sheaves, not just around the edge of the field, but let her go right into the very heart of the field and glean among the sheaves and reproach her not. And more than that, allow some handfuls of purpose to fall for her. And here's Ruth now, and she's out in the field. And she's gleaning amongst these servants of Boaz, and they're lifting big sheaves of corn and they're binding them up. And it seems that they're so clumsy. And they'll be putting this big sheaf into their basket, but somehow they just seem to drop it and they don't stop to pick it up. And Ruth sees this. She can't understand it. And she goes and she lifts maybe that big sheaf and she goes over to the servant and she says, perhaps you dropped this. And he says, that's okay, you can hold on to it. And she doesn't know that behind it all there's this unseen hand that's working and that's moving in the heart of these servants to allow this to happen. And friend in life, do you ever experience that? That things just seem to happen that are beyond your control, and behind it all there's handfuls and they're falling on purpose for us. The old hymn writer said, his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. Oh, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence he hides a smiling face. And Ruth, she just couldn't understand what was happening. Why are these men dropping these handfuls? They just seem so clumsy, or they seem to be almost doing it on purpose, and she couldn't understand it. But she didn't know just yet that behind it all there was this great Redeemer, this great husbandman that had it all planned because he wanted to meet her at the point of need. Just like whenever the Lord was washing the feet of his disciples, and then he came to Peter and he began to wash Peter's feet. Oh, what condescension at the very Son of God left heaven and would come into this world and be made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would kneel in humility and wash our feet. And then Peter says, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And the Lord turned round and says, Peter, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And maybe tonight in your life you say, why, Lord? Why all the pain? Why all the suffering? Why all of this trial? Lord, why have you brought me down this pathway? And maybe tonight the Lord says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know, tonight if I could understand everything about God, he wouldn't be a very big God. There's many things that I don't understand, but I know this, that God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. And God is in control. And God is working out all things for the good of his people. It mightn't always seem like that. Do you ever think about old Joseph there in the Old Testament, the boy of 17? Hated by his family, sold into slavery. Got a job in Potiphar's house, accused of sexual immorality, thrown into the prison cell. languishes there for a number of years, then a famine hits the land and he's brought out. And God brings all things full circle, and in Genesis chapter 50 verse 20, whenever his brothers come to him at last, and they cry and they weep and they repent at his feet, what does Joseph say unto them? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. God has a purpose. And God has a plan. And God has a purpose for your life. But you'll never realize that until you give your life to God in all of its fullness. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now that does not say that everything that happens to us in life is good. There are many things in life that happen that aren't good. But the key word in that verse, Romans 8:28, is the word together. All things, good things, bad things, righteous things, evil things, they all work together for good. Because the Lord's a great physician. You take any tablet, even an aspirin, and there's ingredients within that aspirin, and if you were to take them on their own, they would kill you. But mixed together in the right conditions, in the right amounts, in the right circumstances, they work together for good. And that's the God that we have. And all these things for Ruth are working together for good. And these handfuls of purpose speak of God's providence. Somebody once described it as being like a great tapestry. And whenever you see a tapestry and somebody for many months has weaved the needle and the threads and the different colours and there's a great design, if you look at it from underneath, it's just a mass of loose ends, a mass of knots, a mass of tangled threads, and there seems to be no plan, no purpose, no reason to it. But oh, you turn it over and you see it from the other side. You see the great design. And so it is in this world in which we live. We look at life and sometimes it seems that it's tangled up and it's loose ends and there's no design and there's no purpose. But oh, whenever we see things from heaven perspective, we'll look back and we'll see that yes, God was working. And Ruth's going to realize that. But this also reminds us, these handfuls of purpose, of our priority. You see, there were many people gleaning in the field that day. And yes, Boaz had a love and concern for them all, but there was one that he was especially interested in, and that was Naomi. He had a special love for her. And I believe tonight that God loves all people. I believe tonight that the common grace and the goodness of God is lavished upon this world continually. The Bible says that he causes the rain to fall upon the just and also upon the unjust. And you mightn't even be a Christian tonight, but God has been good to you. The Lord should mark our transgressions, who could stand? But the Bible says that those that trust the Lord are the apple of his eye. His peculiar treasure, a peculiar people. And amongst all of the reapers, Boaz has a special interest in Ruth. Child of God, never forget that the Lord loves you. And amongst all of the people in this world, the Lord has got his eye and his hand and his heart upon you. And you're precious to the Lord. In spite of our sin and in spite of ourselves and in spite of our circumstances, the Lord has a peculiar love, child of God, for you. And you're the apple of his eye. And if you could only understand and if we could only see just how much the Lord loves us, that he's working all things out in this world ultimately for the good of his people, we would realize that the handfuls of purpose that fall before us remind us that God has a priority. And that's to look after his sheep and to look after his own. Unsafe friend in the meeting, let me say to you very solemnly that if you are not a Christian and you're still in your sin and you refuse to come to the Lord, God has no duty. God has no obligation.
God has no responsibility to show you any mercy or grace or love or kindness whatsoever, so long as you go on rejecting the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. But if you enter in tonight, you'll become a recipient of all of the promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And you'll become God's priority. Look lastly at this text of Scripture again. Let some handfuls of purpose fall for her. It reminds us, yes, of our protection, our provision, God's providence, God's priority. But lastly, our privileges. Now, Ruth was a stranger and she's been brought in. And she's got no merit or no credit or anything of merit before Boaz, but this is all of grace. And this is something that she did not deserve. And you know, none of us tonight deserve God's salvation. None of us tonight deserve to be forgiven. None of us tonight deserve to be saved. None of us tonight deserve to be loved. The Bible says that God loves sinners freely. And for Ruth to garner in these handfuls of purpose, it was a privilege. It was all of grace. It went far beyond what the law dictated. The law said that the stranger could come in and gather the little pieces of grain and corn that fell around the sides of the field. But here Boaz brings her right into the very center of the field and gives her the very finest of the wheat. And you know, tonight I'm altogether convinced that so many Christians and so many believers, they settle for so much less than God's best. And so many people seem to just stand in the periphery and they just get enough to do them and no more. And they never really enter into the fullness of God's blessing. And they live well below their privileges. They never really launch out, as it were, into the deep. They never experience what it is to be filled with the fullness of God. They never experience what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They never experience what it is to launch out into the deep, into a life of service and the life of witnessing and the life of blessedness and the life of prayer. And isn't it true that so often we just poke among the crusts and among the husks and we settle for so little, whenever Christ died on the cross to give us so much? He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And maybe tonight as a Christian you've lived like that for years. But maybe tonight God's reminding you, listen, there's so much more. There's handfuls of purpose. More than you can carry. More than you've ever experienced before. As the man of God said unto King Amaziah, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this.